Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold. We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. Or should I say good afternoon, everybody. It's Friday afternoon, January 19th, and we have a super-duper special bonus episode for you today. We have a cool interview with rock and roll metal comedian Jim Florentine. Jim's in the Rochester, New York market this weekend for 3 days of comedy shows. So we're doing a little promotion to get people to the show, let people know about Jim and what's going on. And we're also having a special crossover episode with our Pantheon podcast siblings, What's Hot in the Strip Club podcast. We have Ilan Fong from What's Hot in the Strip Club, Metal Waltz here, and we have Jim Florentine. So let's get right into this. Jim's on a tour. You know, he comes to Rochester about every 18 months. So in the interview, we talk about the tour. We talk rock and roll, metal. We talk strip clubs. We talk food. And we talk, you know, just tons of stuff. So give it a listen if you're in the Rochester area. He's playing tonight, 2 shows, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And 2 shows Saturday night, 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. Comedy at Carlson, Humboldt Street, Rochester, New York. Get some tickets. Get down there. Tell them the Vernomatic and Metal Mayhem ROC sent you. All right, so let's get into this. Jim Florentine with Ilan Fong of What's Hot in the Strip Club, my co-host Metal Walt, and myself, the Vernomatic. We are Metal Mayhem ROC. All right, introductions. I'm the Vernomatic. We've met before. I'm up in Rochester, New York. Metal Walt to our left. He's down in East Hanover. And Ilan Fong, he's up in Columbus. Alon's our guest today. He's from the What's Hot in the Strip Club podcast.
What do you talk about strip clubs? Like, what do you...
We actually talk music, but I was a strip club DJ for 25 years all over the country.
DJ?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And then helped start Panda, which is the Professional Adult Nightclub DJ Association. Over 1,300 strip club DJs around the country. And then we started a Panda Top 20 Countdown show. I had the DJ send me charts since we created our own Top 20 Countdown. We have Panda Off the Charts, where we interview. We had Bob Chiappardi, who did Foundations Forum, the heavy metal back in the 90s. It was a metal convention out in LA. But he's a promoter and record exec, and he brings us artists. We've had everyone from, you know, Josh Todd to Gavin Rosdale to Major Lazer to, you know, hip hop country people, Justin Champagne on the show. They'll bring their new single and we'll talk to them. And then what else we got? We got remix shows. We have a bunch of, so What's Up in the Strip Club is the overall umbrella brand. And then we have like 5 different shows underneath it.
No, before I did stand up, I was a strip club DJ too.
Really? Where at?
Jersey.
Yeah. Where? Not Bada Bing. It's not called Bada Bing, but,
No, it was down, It was Art Stock's Playpen, but they would have strippers at night. It was a rock club.
Nice.
So they have strippers during the day from like, you know, noon to like 6.
Okay.
Or no, rock club at night. So I did that. And then, so I was a strip club DJ during the day there. It was fucking great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know any of the guys from back in the scene, like the Timmy Rowe, the Stringfellows or Scores guys, or any of those DJs or any of the Jersey guys?
No, I didn't know the DJs. Now, I never really talked on mic. Girls, but it was more like just a white trash place.
Got it.
I would just, the girls would give me their music. I'd play it for them.
Yeah. You know, you and I met briefly. I was a guest of Guns N' Roses at Rock on the Range backstage. I met you in the scaffolding. We were all watching the band on the side of the stage. I had a bunch of girls with me. But you, Eddie, and Don, were all there. I think all 3 of you were there.
Yeah.
So we met and talked for a little bit, but you probably don't remember. That was 2013.
You might have worn a different shirt.
And I had hair back then.
Well, Jim, we got you on here today because you're coming up to Rochester. You usually make it up here every 18 months. And we wanted to promote the tour. talk metal, talk strip clubs, Walt has Jersey Tales, and just, you know, just a general catch-up. What's going on with this winter tour? Is it part of this Bite the Bullet, your new special Bite the Bullet? Are you promoting it? What's going on?
No, it's just a new, once you put a comedy special out, then you just move on. You work on, another, special. So it's, it's just, I call it the Nobody Gives a Shit tour because nobody really cares. Comics name their tours. It's like, really? No, I see a band doing it, but it's like, not a comic. So I just do it like, because nobody gives a shit what the tour is called. They either get to go see somebody or you're not.
That's about it.
So you just do new material. So the Bite the Bullet stuff is I released like a year and a half ago. So just, all new material from that.
Rochester seems to be a hot spot for you. Every 18 months, you got three shows.
No, it's five shows, actually. I'm doing.
Damn.
I'm doing one Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. It's great. I'm coming up there. Rochester, Buffalo, upstate New York. Love that area. Big comedy fans, blue collar. They laugh at dick jokes. It's perfect.
I don't know if you recall, about four years ago, we did the interview at the Strath Allen. We were in the back room and shit, and we had a good time, but we enjoy your show. I'll be there Friday night. So,
where did you do the interview again?
You were staying at the Strath Allen. It was Saturday afternoon. We went into the back banquet room.
Yep.
So that's what we do up here, and that was the beginning of this podcast. We've really built the brand, so we wanted to get you on here. My partner, Metal Walt, say hello to Jim. You guys are Jersey guys.
Jim, what's up, man? I'm up here in Morris County in East Hanover. You and I have probably stomped around the same stinky grounds of clubs and PNC for God knows the last 30 years. And all walking the same walks of life. But listen, speaking of like nobody gives a shit tour, John has an opinion of the forthcoming Queensryche EP and Warning tour coming up. So I don't know, Jim, what do you think about that tour? I think John would clump that into Nobody Gives a Shit tour.
What do you mean by that?
I got a problem. Okay, I get the whole bands are turning into brands and there's new singers, this and that. I have a stick in my ass about this new, I call it fake Reich. I can't get over the fact that LaTori, who is a sound alike, comes into the band, and granted, they're doing material. He still sounds like Jeff Tate. That's his gig. And now they're going out with the Warning and the EP to start moving tickets. It's just, what's your take on, bands with other members and riding the whole brand name? It just bugs me a little bit with this fake Reich.
Look, I mean, the problem with these guys is they get older, they can't get along. It's like marriages. You're with somebody 20 years ago. You don't want to be with them anymore. I get it. Like how many, if someone came to you and goes, hey, the girlfriend you were with 20 years ago, do you guys fucking hate, you haven't talked to, and still bothers you that you did, she fuck you over, get back with them. So I understand that they can't get along and shit like that. So, but what I was a little skeptic when Todd joined the band. I'm like, I don't want to see that. It's not Jeff Tate. But I saw it like in the Masa Rock Cruise like 4 years ago. I was like, holy shit, that guy could fucking nail. And it's like, look, man, Jeff's doing his thing. You go see whatever version you want to go see. It was the same thing when Van Halen broke up. I went and saw Dave. I was more of a Dave guy than Sammy. I went and saw both tours. So I figured you got two good bands. Same with Dio and Ozzy. You got two good bands.
But the new music Queensryche's doing, honestly, are you a fan of it?
I haven't listened to it because I was never a huge Queensryche fan. I like the first stuff. I remember getting the EP when it first came out.
Yeah. Okay.
Unbelievable. After whatever the album was after Operation Mindcrime, I kind of gave up.
Empire.
After Empire, then I was kind of, I'm done.
The 90s and we all checked out a little bit.
But yeah, look, at some point when you keep coming around as Queensryche with Todd, you got to come up with different, okay, what are we going to do different? As a fan of the band, even though it's not Jeff singing, okay, wow, they're going to do the whole Warning album and the EP. That's cool because they don't do all those deep cuts. If you're a big fan of Warning, like, fuck, that's great. I understand it's not the singer, but, whatever. Everyone's just trying to make a buck out there. I'm like, whatever. You don't have to go see it. That's the way I look at it.
My big issue with older bands is when they come out with new material, I'm excited for that. But without the labels, because usually they're running their own shit now, they don't have a producer. And so none of the songs or albums sound polished or finished usually. Like they don't, like they had good ideas, but they don't have that digestible polish we're used to hearing it once it's been produced by a major record label or producer. Do you know what I mean? So like Living Color is one of my favorite bands. And a lot of their albums, lots of them was actually pretty good, Shade, but there, a lot of their albums in between, I'm like, I like the first half of the song, then either it just ends or it doesn't go anywhere or whatever. You know what I mean? So stuff like that is what I have an issue with older bands.
No, it's true. I mean, look, as they get older, they run out of ideas too.
Yeah.
Happen too. You know, you write your best stuff when you're young and you're hungry. So that could easily happen too. Your life changes, you're a different person.
Yeah.
Or you could be like KK Downing, who decides to fuck his old band by scheduling a tour across the same markets 3 weeks before Judas Priest comes around. I don't know, Jimmy, if you noticed that he's playing Starland, but he planted the show literally around the country, the East Coast, 3 weeks before Priest.
Oh, right, because Priest is coming around. Yeah, well, I know he's doing that Monster Rock Cruise, which I'll be on, and I'm excited to see the band. So I can't think why he's here in America, that he'll just do a 2 week run or a 3 week run. But yeah, it is a little, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, yeah, there is some bad blood there. So I think he's probably doing it on purpose, but I'm excited.
Yeah, like you said, it's just business. Just business. We're all trying to get our nut.
And I'm going to go see both. I'm going to see KK's Priest at Starland, and I'll see Priest again.
Hey, Jim, question for you. When you do a tour like this, is it just new material? Or is it like a musician where you got to play your greatest hits? Because comedy doesn't work as good, right? When you've already heard the joke, right?
No, it's weird. I know. It'd be nice if you could do that. But no, they don't hear it. They don't want your old stuff.
Okay.
You can mix in stuff here and there, but there's no request for it.
Okay.
It'd be nice if I could just pick out some good bits that worked great. I'm like, oh, good. I could just kind of just coast here. I know I could put these here and it's going to go over great. But the comedy doesn't work that way.
Yeah. What if you have a new audience like you haven't toured in a while, or a younger generation discovers your old stuff and is like, you know, gets into Terrorizing Telemarketers, et cetera, and then like comes out to see you? If you see a younger audience, could you pull it off maybe? Just a thought.
Because they'll probably know. I wouldn't want to do it. I don't know. Okay. You just like once I'm done with it, I'm done with the material. Once in a while, I'll bring back a bit here or there that I still like. But other than that, I'm like, oh, should I? Yeah. Half the time, you know, as a comic, you don't even remember the shit you did 4 or 5
Yeah, I was gonna say, and you're in a rhythm too, and you're excited for doing the new stuff.
That's true. I love it, man. It's nothing better, man. It's like a band guy gets going out and their new songs going over with the crowd, and like, holy shit, feels great.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, what's just curious? Like, when you do like a couple shows a day, you do like an 8 o'clock and then an 11 o'clock. What's the difference between the audience? You get like a lot of drunk guys at 10 or 11, or they're all liquored up, or their ladies are all goofy with them. Like, what's a better
early shows? Definitely the drunks. It's Friday to Friday, like the late show on a Friday. A lot of comedy clubs only do one on Friday. Some still do two. I know the Rochester club's doing two, but you know, they get off work at 5, you know, they ate and then, or they went out, you know, happy hour. And then they come to like a 10:30 show or a 10 o'clock show. They're drunk. They're tired and people are falling asleep. They're yelling stuff. They have no energy. So that we always dread the Friday late show. I wish they would start shows like 4 and 6 p.m.
You're telling me we had that talk about, you know, we're all, you know, mid-50s. And I'm like, fuck, why can't this show start at 7:30? I'll be home by 9.
Well, some managers see any small clubs, they go on at like 10 o'clock. I go, fuck, 10 or 10:30. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
And not even.
You're playing here in Columbus at the Attic Comedy Club, which I didn't even know existed, on February 10th. So hopefully I'll see you. I plan on going now. But
yeah, maybe not Jameson now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a little club open like a year ago. I did it once over the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm excited. Me, I had no idea about it. I was looking at your tour dates. I'm like, oh, he's playing Columbus. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, how do you decide this routing? 2 weeks on, 1 week off? By this point of the game, you're just going to the markets that sell well?
Wherever you get offers, you know, you never know. You know, you just, you know, you got these relationships with clubs. I've been working this club in Rochester probably like 15 years now. You know, so you're just in that rotation. So wherever they pop up, you don't really, I just do, you know, you just go out on weekends. A comic's never out like every night of the week like a bitch. 4 weeks straight. They'll come back home, usually work like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, and then you're back.
Let me ask you, so you come into Rock, what do you do after the show? Where have you been? What are you doing this weekend? You just go back to the hotel, chill?
maybe go to, you know, visit your local Applebee's. Yeah. A lot of good stuff in Rochester. So I might even hit the Fridays. I don't know.
They give you a black card for the Applebee's. You should be on the commercials, and you should just set up a network for comedians where they get a comedy card and you just hit all the Applebee's around the country.
I got a gift card for Christmas, so I know
there you go.
Well, you need a driver, we'll go somewhere. Bring you somewhere better than Applebee's. And I know you're fucking around, but
I want to go visit the record stores up there, those two record stores.
Oh, nice.
Record Archive. We'll go to Record Archive and we can go to the House of Guitars.
House of Guitars, I love that place. It's just fucking messy and it's dirty and there's fucking dust everywhere. You got to dig to find a t-shirt. I love that.
You got to check out Magnolia Thunder Pussy. It's a record store up at Ohio State campus. It's about 3 miles north of where you're playing. So
it's good too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what, Elon, what's the name of it?
Magnolia Thunder Pussy.
The fuck?
Oh, and real quick shout out, since I'll be promoting this on my socials, Mr. Florentine, I almost said Jameson, will be playing at the Winchester Music Tavern in Lakewood, Ohio, which is outside of Cleveland on February 9th. That's a Friday. So make sure you cop those tickets and go see Jim Florentine live.
And the night before, John Five's playing there. So I'm coming tonight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be sweet.
Yeah.
What about you, Walt? You ever get to any of these clubs Florentine played down near you?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We got a family beach house in Point Pleasant Beach. So I don't go there enough, but I know, Jim, you probably play down at Uncle Vinny's.
Yeah, I do that. Right? I'm doing it again in March. I usually do it over the summer. I was just up in like your neck of the woods, Morris Plains at Tiff's Comedy Club.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll come down to Uncle Vinny's.
March 30th, Uncle Vinny's, Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
You know what, Jim? You and I can go to the beach store in a day. We could wear our Speedos and sit out there. It would be like 40
we'll wear
below.
Wear scarves.
What do you think? Exactly. Over our waist.
Hey, what about your other two knuckleheads, Eddie and Jameson? How's that rocks doing?
Yeah, we're on a little break right now, you know, in between seasons. You know, it's tough, man, because you get these guys and, you know, you don't know where the audio's coming from. I'm sure you guys deal with it too, do it on Zoom.
All the time.
From their car, on their phone, you know, and shit like that. And the audio's all fucked up and they don't have the right system. So... Yeah.
We just had a staff meeting about that, and we're holding these people we do interviews with to a higher set of standards.
Yeah.
You know, we had Biff Byford a couple weeks ago. Man, he's in his living room. There's no light. He's on the couch. He's rubbing his nuts. We're, you know, you can't hear him. You can't see him. So even on your level, you're running into that BS?
Yeah, because you never know. You just, you know, look, they're doing you a favor by doing the show. Right.
We're not getting paid.
Okay, make it as convenient as possible. You send them the link for like StreamYard is what we're using. And then you never know what pops up on their end. You know, if they're in a hotel and the internet's not good or something like that. So it's, you know, we got to figure that out. So we'll be back at some point. But it got frustrating because half the time, you know, to break it up, we're losing a person and shit like that. It's like, this is too fucking unprofessional.
I heard a guy like Bill Ward doesn't even use social media. So, like, if you want to get an interview with Bill Ward, how the hell?
Well, what they usually do, they have an assistant. Will hook it up for him, you know, on the computer and do like through a StreamYard or something like that or a Zoom. But they have no idea what they're doing. You know, we had Paul Rogers on, and he was way up in Canada somewhere, and it just the fucking signal was terrible. We couldn't even get him. We saw his face, but he couldn't talk. Or like, holy shit!
Well, that's because he's got a wife who's blonde and hot, and she's a vegan. And she's, you know, 30 years younger than him. That's why he doesn't want to turn on the fucking camera.
Well, up in Saskatchewan.
Well, Rockstar doesn't have a younger, hotter wife.
Well, Walt, remember the Graham Bonnet interview?
The Graham Bonnet. He has his Bethany Heavenstone, his wife. You know, he had no idea how to use the laptop. And John and I were just going on and on with her after our interview. And he literally just got up and left. He goes, "All right, guys, I'm going to just leave you to go. See you later." Just left the interview.
Those first two Alcatraz records, No Parole for Rock and Roll, Disturbing the Peace, phenomenal. Love those.
Well, there's another band.
Now,
Alcatraz. You know, who's leading the band? The third string drummer?
Doogie White, and they're going out on tour with Girls School.
New Jersey. It's coming to Pennsylvania. I'm going to go. It's Girls School, Alcatraz, and somebody else.
Lillian X.
That's right. Yeah.
Lillian X.
Yeah.
You guys almost harmonized that. That was impressive.
Well, Walt and I were in tune. Yeah, so this year, tons of shows. We don't know where to go. See, I'm in a different market up here in Rochester. You know, we got Cleveland 3.5 hours away. I go down to Jersey and stay with Walt a lot. And, you know, he's going to shows. This motherfucker, this guy gets into shows. You know, you could sell ice to an Eskimo. And
a bag of shells.
Jim, this is cool. He'll send me a text. He's like, going to Strasbourg to see MSG tonight. I'll send you pictures. 2 hours later, there's pictures with him with the band, him and Michael Schenker at his fucking car. And I'm like, what do you, you know, how does this happen?
It's the rite of passage. It's 35 years of doing this stuff. It's the gift that returns. The gift has to come back to you. It's karma coming your way.
That's right.
For supporting all these artists. But there's a will, there's a way.
How often are you seeing shows that you're not working? Like you mentioned, you're going on the cruise. I want to get to those. Those look wild. But are these all working gigs or a little bit of both?
Which ones?
Well, like when you said you're going, what, the 70,000 tons of steel cruise? Is it?
El Monstro Rock Cruise.
Okay. Are you working at comedy and like
hosting, you just introduce the bands? You do like two different comedy sets, but you know, every band does two shows in the 5 days on the ship. So they got to do two different shows. So you get the chance to see the bands, even if you're watching one, you know, they start at like noon, go to like 1 a.m. So there's shit going on all the time. It's great. I love doing it, you know, and you get to see all these bands. I saw Rose Tattoo two different times on the cruise, like last year and 2 years before. I never saw them. It's one of my favorite bands. That was great. Saxon's always on the ship. Except's on this year, which is going to be great. So it's a lot of fun.
And that cruise, if you correct me if I'm wrong, it also draws bands sometimes that don't really do any touring in the States. They're kind of like one-off
shows.
Yeah,
a lot of European bands. A lot of Swedish bands. There's a band called Heat. Have you heard of them?
No.
Them, yes. And Hardcore Superstars, yeah, another one. A lot of these Swedish bands that are pretty big over there will be out there. And you'll get Europeans to come over and go on the cruise just because they're fans of those bands.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, John, our buddy's Wigwam from Norway.
Yep.
That's the way things are going with these residencies. It used to be bands would go to 6 different venues in a state. Now they just
make you come see them. That's smart.
Well, the touring much with the fuel and everything else, you know, the economy and all that stuff, you know, the hotels, all that shit is just too much for these bands to do it. They don't make any money. Then you got bigger venues taking a cut of your merchandise, which is bullshit. Never understood that. You got that shit going on too. I love it. Some of these smaller bands are just going, hey, meet us out by our bus out back and we'll sell merchandise there. Good. Fuck these clubs.
Yeah, these clubs. We talk to the same people. We talk to a lot of these artists and it's just really sad. And so we always tell our listeners, fuck that. Just go straight to the website. Go straight to the band. You're going to probably pay less. So,
it's the thing though, when you're at a live show, you know, you want to get the shirt. So the website, you want to get the set. You know, there's not one comedy club in the country that takes a cut of your merchandise. So I sell merchandise. Yeah. If you go to a casino, they try to do it. I'll lie. I go, okay, they'll go, we need to count it in. And then I'll go, okay, we got 10 here. We got 10 of this, 10 of that. And then I have a bag under the table. As people are buying shit, I just take right from the bag. Again, I only sold 3 things. Sorry. Fuck you.
Yeah, I was telling Walt before you got on that the Spotify numbers, you know, Spotify, 1 million streams equals $3,000. So like artists can't make shit. How many people even get 1 million streams on a song? So if you want to support your artists and want to see them keep making music and keep touring, you got to buy their merch. You got to buy tickets. You got to support them because streaming across all art has made it almost impossible to make money as an artist. You have to be branded, sponsored, partnered, and that's where you make your money now. Unless the fans are going to buy the music, you know, either from the website, download, buy a CD, buy merch. So, you know, if you want to do that, man, help your artists out.
I always buy it just, you know, like I don't buy CDs anymore, any physical products. I got Apple Music, but I'll always buy the album when it comes out just to support the band. I'll download it.
Yeah.
I'll buy it online, you know, stream it. So like Saxon's got a new record coming out this week and the Rods have a new record. So I'm going to buy it on Friday just to support them.
Sure.
You know, I can listen to it for free. Cost me $10. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with that, I do the same thing, but like, you know, I'll go to the record archive. But then, you know, you buy it, I do a radio show, an internet radio show on Monday night, so I'll rip it in to my computer because we use MP3s, and then the hard copy sits on the desk. You know, it sits in my collection. I still like the hard copy.
Yeah, me too. I do too. I don't even have a CD. I have like a 2018, I think, or 19 Honda Accord, and it doesn't have a CD player in it.
Yeah, me too.
I would love it. If I had a CD player, I'd still buy CDs, but I don't even have one. I have one in my house, but I rarely listen to music in the house.
I'm the same way. I only listen on longer drives, and I have a 19 Accord. Same thing with my first Accord that didn't have a record player or CD player in it. So I want to like almost.
You couldn't squeeze one in here with all the other fucking stupid.
Right? Fuck yeah.
Well, I do have a disc player. I'm ripping around in a really nice 2009 Trailblazer. So this is my flow. I'll go to the archive. I'll buy the new metal church. I'll rip it open. I'll sit in the car. I'll read it. Do the first two or three songs. Drive around. And then I go home, put it in my computer, and it goes on the counter with the rest of the discs.
Speed music always sounds better loud in your car when you're driving.
Yeah, I agree.
I always want, when I got a CD at a store, I'd always go, cool, I'm going to listen to this on the way home, look forward to it, and like, damn, you know, it's just that sound. I don't know why.
It's Dude, we grew up in that era, man. You remember going to the excitement, I think Fridays were new release day at one point. So you'd go and you'd grab whatever record. I remember when Even Smile came out. I was so ecstatic, and I'm like, that album cover, you know, with him with the tribal paint. Yep. I'm like, what is this? Went home, ran home, put the vinyl on, cranked it up. That was vinyl. But then later with CDs, it was go right to the car and go drive around and listen to the album, man.
Yeah, man, it was great.
Hey, Jim, let me get your opinion. This whole Kiss Avatar fiasco. Not that anyone cares, but what is this? You're in New York. What was?
I don't know what an Avatar is. I'm retarded.
What is the blue alien? It's James Cameron, right?
I don't know.
They're doing a Kiss movie in the Avatar world? What's going on?
I'm with Jim. I don't even know.
I think it's just a digital version of these guys, and they could make them look like superheroes. And it's just like watching a movie, like a kid's movie. Go to the movie and you watch an animated version of Kiss. Play a
no
show.
One's going to care about that.
I want to go see Bruce Kulick's band doing the cool Kiss that he was involved in.
Yes, that's my favorite era of Kiss.
Will be doing shows, my prediction, within a year and a half to 2 years. But by 2 years, they'll be doing more shows.
Of course. If they're still alive.
Makeup, Vegas. Costumes, because like a month before the end of that last show, Gene just casually slid that in. These are the end of the costume and full show. Production.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Believe me, they love money. They're not going to sit home as all this money's passing them by and like, fuck, we need to get back out there. So they'll give it rest for 2 years and they'll do Vegas. They'll start there. Oh, we're doing one-off show. We're going to do the Forum. We're going to do the Garden, something like that. They're not done.
Speaking about money, what are you still doing? Is it still called Metal Midgets on Sirius or did... I was listening the other day, and I have to sort of disagree with you on Flick of the Switch. Fucking love the album. Love the rawness.
Keep trying. It's the production on it. I don't know. It's just weird. It went from, you know, Mutt Lang to them producing it themselves.
Yeah, I know. And
it's just, I don't, to me, it's just, I believe me, I go back every few years. With fresh ears, I still can't.
How do you do that show? You do it from the road. You're just calling in your mic breaks. What do you do?
Yeah, I could be in the studio up at Sirius. If I'm in New York, I'll do it there. You know, or I could do it right from my house and just send in the breaks and come up with the set list and all that stuff.
Speaking of AC/DC, Jim, what's your prediction for this year? Are we going to get some stadium shows in the States?
Now it's like 15 shows in the States, stadiums, 10 to 15. And then it got some stuff over in Europe, but nothing's been announced yet, which is weird. AC/DC is another band that loves money too.
Yeah.
So, look, I would see that show. I saw the footage from Power Trip. I would definitely go see it. They weren't 100%, but they were like, you know, running at like 85%, 85, 90. I'll take that with AC/DC.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that set list they did. Jesus.
I'll open up with If You Want Blood, You Got It.
What? 27 songs. What was it? 26, 27. And that was excellent. We interviewed a guy that went to that, a good friend of ours, big AC/DC fan. And he gave us a blow by blow rundown of the entire weekend and shit. He even went to that AC/DC bar and missed Angus by like 5 minutes, but
yeah. Oh, wow. Damn.
Well, yep. We're going to Jim's on this tour, Rochester. You guys have any other parting shots before we let him get going?
Yeah, actually, we started a strip club music hall of fame.
That's right. That's right.
We're having the debate about the rock and roll music. You know, everyone gets bent out of shape because hip hop and R&B people are getting in, right? We're the music hall of fame. So we just started in 23. So the inaugural class was Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Prince, Def Leppard, and Nine Inch Nails. Now we are down to our final round of voting. So if anybody wants to go vote, go to www.stripclubhof.com. We got about 25 maybe artists that made the cut based on previous rounds of voting. So you can go vote, and it's all genres of music. Who would be your strip club music hall of fame members? Five, pick five.
Which were the five that you picked?
So real quick, the qualifications are they must have released their first single or album 20 years or later. So 2003 or before. So Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Prince, Def Leppard, and Nine Inch Nails.
I'd throw Marilyn Manson in there.
Okay.
I remember girls always, yeah. I always liked the stripper. I came in wanted to dance to Manson. I'm like,
he's on the list this year on the ballot.
I think who else? Yeah.
Rat. Okay.
Rat, yeah, maybe.
Rat always had those sleazy, sexy strip club type songs, man. I just remember being down there in Sea Caucus at those go-go bars, and Rat was always on in early 90s.
Yeah, what was that strip club in Sea Caucus? Like a dome, it's called. I used to go there too.
What's the real name of the Butter Bing? What's the real name of the Butter Bing? I can't remember.
Shakers?
Satin Dolls.
No, Satin Dolls. Satin Dolls.
AJ's.
Well, speaking about the rock clubs, I'm thinking of Double D's. Double D's. Remember Double D's, Jim? Where you had half strip club, half rock club. Saw Steven Piercy, and you can go and put a couple of dollars in the girls. They slide down a fire pole. Saw Riot there. A lot of little bands there.
You know, another strip club song was Whitesnake, Here I Go Again, but they didn't play other Whitesnake stuff.
Yeah. Slide it in.
And, you know, look, Buck Cherry with Crazy Bitch.
Yep.
That was a big one. Even Sorry, sometimes they put I hear.
Oh, Lit Up. We played Lit Up a lot.
Absolutely. Lit Up. Yeah.
Did you say Warrant? Warrant?
Jim, here's another one. Bourbon Street. Remember Bourbon Street?
Still open.
Bourbon Street in Old Ridge. Listen, that was the routine. You went down the turnpike, you hit Bourbon Street for all the Burchill shows. Then you just got trashed and you hit the Peter Pan diner or White Castle on the return.
It was called the Peter Skank Diner.
Nice to work. AC/DC Van Halen, by the way.
I used to DJ at the Burchill back in the day, too, the heavy metal DJ.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, so if you're ever looking for a strip club DJ fill-in, Jim might be available. So all the strip clubs out there, make sure to reach out to Mr. Jim Florentine, James Florentine, and maybe he can fill in for you.
Yeah, you know, when I was DJing, though, I got like $75 for the shift or maybe $100, and the dancers barely tipped you. Like all of a sudden, 10 years later, all these DJs are making so much money. I'm like, fuck, I was before my time.
It's going back to the old way, though, because of all the civil class action lawsuits from the strippers about independent contractor stuff.
Right.
So it's almost flipped the opposite. A lot of clubs, you can't make them tip you anymore. It's illegal. The Supreme Court ruled.
Yeah. So I would never, you know, once in a while I hook up with one. So that was my pay. So that was worth.
No, I get it.
Well, didn't the strip bars have like killer food, like awesome, like bacon cheeseburgers or something?
Gentlemen's clubs have a lot of high end food. I know one of the clubs I worked at in Vegas had a flambé chef. It was like all high end food. And like, I know that my old club here in Columbus, Cahoots, before it was put down, our large day shift was great because our food was actually good. People were like, yeah, we go for the girls, but the food's actually good.
Yeah, with the strip club food, at least you know the flies aren't going to be on the food.
Right. Hey, dude, we don't have dead girls. This isn't, you know, we're not into the old necrophilia thing, man.
But sometimes, you know.
When does that Rocks come back?
I don't know. Probably like March, somewhere around there. We're not sure yet.
Still doing that other podcast on Barstool? What was that? Everybody is Awful?
Everybody's Awful. It's not on Barstool anymore. I just do it on my own. So, yeah, I do a podcast. Everybody's Awful comes out every Monday. And then this show on Ozzy's Boneyard every Thursday, 5 p.m. Repeats a few times during the weekend and stuff. So,
guys, any last parting shots for our boy?
Yeah, I'll be the Rochester Comedy at the Carlson this Thursday, January 18th through Saturday the 20th.
And it'll be at the Lakeland something or other up in Cleveland on February 9th. Also on the 8th for John 5. It'll be in Columbus at the Attic Comedy Club, which I'll go see you on the 10th. So I look forward to seeing you there. And go check out What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. We're on every major streaming platform.
Jim, I'll see you at one of these gigs. There's always a million of them. We're always going to the same places. I'll find you. We'll say, hi, we'll have a beer here.
You're going to see KK's Priest at Starland?
I'll be there. I'll probably try to check out Mr. Big, maybe even the Extreme Show next week. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to KK's Priest for sure.
All right. We'll find each other. We'll have a beer, man.
Absolutely.
All right, Jim. Thanks. I'll see you Friday night.
All right. Thanks, man. Thank you, guys.
No problem, man.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.